18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. We are in the fourth week of a series called He Is, where we have been walking through the book of John, the Gospel of John, listening to Jesus define who he is. He has been giving statements. They're called the seven I am statements. And for the next few weeks, we're going to finish that out. And so over the last several weeks, we've heard him say, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. And so today we're going to continue in the story that we began last week. We're picking up in mid-story, and he's going to take this word picture that was started again last week, and he's going to kind of turn it. He's going to turn the picture just a little bit. I grew up in an East Texas town, little East Texas town, going to an East Texas traditional church, a Baptist church. And I went to there was a missions program in that little church for boys. It was kind of a, they kind of took Boy Scouts, baptized it, and they taught missions. It was called RAs, Royal Ambassadors. And so I would go to that every Wednesday night when it happened. We would learn about missionaries. We would learn about missions. We would learn about Christ and how we need to, in our vernacular today, live sent, how we need to be on mission for the Lord. And I remember one Wednesday night, the leaders loaded up all the little boys, and we got into a church van. That should tell you how small it was. We got into a church van, and we took off, and we went to a farm. We went to a farm where there was a man in the church who had some sheep. And the lesson that they wanted to teach us, a real live lesson in that moment, was about Jesus being a shepherd, about us being sheep, and how we all go astray, and how we're all doing our own thing. And when out of nowhere, one of the leaders picked up a little third grade boy, and he's shocked, puts him on the sheep, and it shocked the sheep just as much as it shocked the little boy. That was me. All I could do was reach around, and I just grabbed a hold, just like this. And I'm eating wool. I've just got my head down. The sheep is shocked. It's taken off. All of a sudden, it takes off running towards the sheepfold, the barn. And as it is running, my adrenaline's pumping. It seemed like we must have run for five, six days, the way I was holding on. Couldn't have been that long. We get to the barn. All that I remember at that point is he stopped. I let go and kind of just slid off into a mess, if you know what I'm talking about. My little white shirt was covered with all kinds of manure and everything. The guy who was the leader, he was not a good shepherd whatsoever, I want to tell you. He was a funny one, yeah, but he was not a good one. He wasn't taking care of his little lamb or the flock of sheep that was there. We were all scared. The passage of scripture that Betty just read for us in John chapter 10, Jesus identifies himself as a good shepherd. Now, if you remember last week, if you weren't here last week, you need to go back in the website. You want to pick this up because I'm picking up midstream here, all right? Last week, the story revolved around a city sheepfold, a city pen, where many shepherds would come and they would bring their sheep in and they would put them into this pen, and there was a hired hand there, a gatekeeper, who would guard the sheep while the shepherds would go in to eat, to sleep, to rest. And the hired hand would be there to make sure that the thieves and the robbers didn't come in. Well, this story makes a turn. Now then, in verse 11 through 18, we start reading about Jesus turns the word picture, if you will. Last week he said he was the door to the sheep pen. He turns it now, and he goes to an open field pen, if you will. It's a sheepfold in the wild where one shepherd might be guarding his sheep, maybe two. Not necessarily large flocks. They may have 10, 15, 20 sheep apiece. They would figure out, how do we build and get all of these sheep together so that they could be corralled? Knowing they didn't have enough, I don't know if you heard or remembered what Betty said, keep a look at that passage, that the shepherd out in the wild, he would take and he would lay down in front of the door. He literally, that shepherd would become the doorway into the sheepfold. You remember last week, Jesus said, I am the door and my sheep have to come through me. They can't go through another door. They can't come over. They have to come through me. Jesus says, the shepherd, the good shepherd, lays his life down. Literally, he lays down in front of it. He takes his crook. You've seen the shepherd's crook that has the bent curve to the top. He would lay it across that gate, and as the sheep would come in, as he's calling the sheep to come in from out, protecting them, he would inspect them one by one. He would call them by name. He would let them come in. This is what the shepherd did. This is what the good shepherd does. This is what Jesus is saying in this story. Now, quickly, I don't have long. If you weren't here and you're not certain where we are, Jesus has just healed in chapter 9 a guy who was blind. He was formerly blind. He gets kicked out of, this formerly blind guy gets kicked out of the temple because he identified with Jesus. And the religious leader said, you're gone, you're out. Jesus hears about it. He finds him while he's still in the temple, and he's telling this chapter 10 story while the religious leaders, onlookers are all around the formerly blind guy. And so it's into this that Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. All of these others here, they're false shepherds. They're thieves. They're robbers. They're hired hands. I am the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. Well, today, there are three observations, and they're all action points that I want you to see that happens with this good shepherd in verse 11 through 18. This good shepherd protects his sheep. This good shepherd is very personal with his sheep. And this good shepherd, the one that Jesus says he is, he still pursues other sheep. Look with me, if you will, at this passage. Jesus is contrasting here in verse 11, 12, and 13. Jesus is contrasting. He says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm not a hired hand. I'm not the guy that is manning the gate. In fact, he even says, what does the hired hand do? The hired hand, when a wolf comes, he hightails it. All you see is him running away because he's not worried about the sheep. What he's worried about is his money. You see, for the hired hand, the sheep exist for him. Jesus is contrasting that as the good shepherd, he's there for the sheep. He's there to care for them. In fact, he even draws a contrast between the week prior. And he says, listen, I'm not a thief and a robber. Do you remember what the thieves and the robbers do? They've come to steal, to kill, and destroy. He says, I'm the good shepherd. I've come so that you might have life and have it abundant, so that you might have good pasture going in and out. This is why I have come today. This is why I'm here. Look with me, if you will, at this passage again. At this passage, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 10. What's happening here as he's teaching and the religious leaders are all around, they're looking around. He's using this language of a shepherd, and the religious leaders and the people know what he's talking about. You know why? Because they've been steeped with prophets. They knew that this, what he's talking about, is Jesus is fulfilling Ezekiel 34, where God tells Ezekiel, you tell the people that I'm going to be their shepherd. I'm going to be the one that leads them to good pasture. I'm going to be the one who rescues them. I'm going to be the one that brings them to good water. They would recognize in Psalm 80, when Psalm 80 begins, God is my shepherd. They would recognize Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. They would recognize the greatest king of Israel that ever lived. His name was King David. Do you remember how King David started? He was a shepherd. He was a shepherd who rose to be king. He was a shepherd who took care of his sheep. He was a shepherd who fought off the lions and the tigers and the bears. He was the one who laid his life down for the sheep. And it's into this that Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm it. So how is it that Jesus, the good shepherd, protects his flock? Verse 11, read it with me. Verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for, circle the word for there if you got it. He lays down his life for the sheep. This shepherd, he's not made to lay his life down. He willingly, he sacrifices his body. He substitutes himself. He gets between the lions, the bears, and the tigers. He gets between the robbers and the thieves. He gets between, in this passage when it says, the wolves come. And the hired hand turns and runs. The good shepherd stands between them. In fact, in theological terms, this is called substitutionary atonement. This is where Jesus himself pays a debt that you and I could never pay. He lays his life down for us. He willingly lays his life down. This is how the shepherd protects his sheep. This is how Jesus, who's standing before the religious leaders, says, I lay my life down for my sheep. They kick you out. They abuse you. They think you're there for their benefit. I have come that you might have life and you might have it abundantly. This is what Jesus is saying. And I want you to notice something here. Notice the power that Jesus has to protect his sheep. He's got power and he has authority. Look in your scripture at verses 17 and 18, the last two verses that Betty read. Verses 17 and 18, Jesus is speaking to them, and he says this, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. What's the mission of the Good Shepherd? What's the charge of the Good Shepherd? It was given to him by his Heavenly Father. It was given to him. Jesus received it from the Heavenly Father, that he was to come, and notice this, is to lay his life down for his sheep. The ones he was to call, the one he was calling to life, he lays his life down. And did you notice his power? Notice his power. He says, I have the power to lay my life down. Nobody takes my life from me. No one takes my life from me. You may be sitting here thinking, wait a minute, I thought the story went that the Romans are the ones who put him on the cross. Listen, the only reason the Romans put him on the cross is because he willingly went that direction. That is it. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, Isaiah tells us. You see, no one takes his life. He lays it down. This is what the good shepherd does. He says, I have the authority to lay my life down. And if I lay it down, I also have the power to take it up. This is how he protects you and me. Do you realize that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ today, you are in the sheepfold of God. You're one of his sheep. There may be some young ones in here. You're one of his lambs if you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, and no one can take you out of his hand. This is how powerful the good shepherd is. He says, listen, nobody takes my life. Listen, that's who I want to follow. That's who I want to be with. That is where I want to go. And he was speaking to men and women, people there that knew this authority. Do you remember how the scripture talked about Jesus? That he was a teacher. He was one who taught with authority, unlike their religious leaders. You see, our good shepherd lays his life down. Our good shepherd takes his life up again. Our good shepherd stands between anything that might come between us, false teachers, false shepherds, thieves and robbers, and wolves. But notice the second thing real quickly. Here's the second. Not only does the good shepherd protect, our good shepherd also is personal. He's personal. Notice what verse 14 and 15 say. This is where I want you to get a pen. I need you to get active or highlight with your thumb or something in your tablet. Verse 14 and 15 say this: I am the good shepherd. He's repeating himself. Do you know in all of these declarations so far, he's repeated himself in his passages. When he repeats himself, he does not want us to forget it. So verse 11, I'm the good shepherd. Verse 14, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down, I lay down my life for the sheep. Are you catching all the repetition here? He says one word four times in two verses. One word four times, two verses. He says, no. He says, I know my sheep. And he says, not only do I know my sheep, they know me. He said in the passage last week, he said, I name my sheep and my sheep know their name. And when I call their name, they come. Why? Because they know me. They know me. Do you know this word in the language of the Bible, that this was written in the New Testament? This word means intimate. It's intimate language. Into me, you see. Into me, you see. It's intimate language. How is it intimate? Well, number one, God created you. All of you in here were created by God. Not all of you are children of God, though. All of us were created by God. The only way we become children of God or sheep of God into his sheepfold is to hear his voice and respond. That's what the scripture tells us. So he created us. He knows us. He knit us together, Psalm 139 says. He knows our thoughts before we think them. He knows where I'm going to be in 1 hour, where I hope to be in 1 hour, and he knows where I'll be if I'm not there. He knows the thoughts that are going through your head right now. He knows the growl that's happening in your tummy right now. He knows everything about you. This is the same word, the same connotation that goes back into Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, where it talks about, and 4, where it talks about knowing, man, Adam and Eve knowing one another. This is an intimate language that our shepherd knows you and me. You see, he doesn't just look over Life Point Church and go, oh, there's Life Point Church. He looks over today and says, there's Kyle Gowen. That's my son. There's Betty. There's Janie. There's Jimmy. There's Johnny. There's Tony. There's Amy. There's Carol. There's Billy. You see, he sees you. That's how personal he is to us. The passage last week and this week, look at it with me because I want you to see a couple of things that I want to draw out here. It says that Jesus owns his sheep. That's verses 12 and 14. He says, listen, the hired hand doesn't own them. Somebody's coming, you know what he's gonna do? I'm out, see ya. He says, not the good shepherd. I own those sheep, they're mine. I lay my life down for them. It says that he knows their name, that he names them. I know you talked about this last week, where, you know, just as we name animals today, Jesus has named you. He's named you one of your own. You may think that you named your children, but do you realize Jesus named them? My wife Amy and I, were talking yesterday, and earlier in the week, we were driving by a house that we had not driven by in a long time, and we were remembering an old family that we had not seen in a long time. The parents have gone on to heaven, and we were talking about the son. Hadn't seen him in a long time. This morning, I walked into this building early, and I'm walking down the hallway, and I see that man, and I call out his name. And when I call out his name, he stops. He begins to look around. You know, there's a little echo out in the hallway. I called his name again. He stopped again, and he started honing in. I called his name one more time, and we came together for a reunion. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. There's something special when someone knows your name. Do you realize that today, if you follow Jesus Christ, he's called you by name. He didn't just say, hey, you come over here. Hey, you in the blue shirt, come here. No, he calls you by name because he knows you, he loves you, and he is the good shepherd, and he laid his life down for you. And you know what the great thing is today? That I can stand here with full confidence looking around, up and down, is that there are some of you in here today, he is calling your name. He is calling you to come to him. You don't even, listen, you're thinking you wandered in here. Can I tell you, you didn't wander in here, he led you in here. Because the good shepherd doesn't drive you, he leads you. He leads you. So he's brought you here today. Do you know why he's brought you here today? Whether you are a follower of his or you are soon to be follower of his. He's brought you here because he wants to protect you from life and death. He wants to protect you from eternal death so that you might have life that is abundant. Isn't that what the passage tells us? That the good shepherd leads us into pasture. He leads us by still waters. He brings us beside to green pastures and still waters. That does not mean, now I want to be real clear, that does not mean that if you come to Christ, there's not going to be any issues. But it does mean this, is that as a good shepherd, he goes and he prepares a place for us that is, the waters are still and calm. Because whenever Jesus steps into a water place, it begins to calm. Even though around us everything's shaking, there is calm. I have a shepherd that I can keep my eyes on so that when he calls my name, you see, he's calling some of you today. You know why he's calling you? Because he wants to, well, he's laid his life down for you. You see, the charge, the mission that the Heavenly Father sent the Good Shepherd on was to go and claim my sheep, bring them into the fold. And so as today, some of you, you're feeling a stirring in your spirit. That's not an East Texas preacher. That's not an East Tennessee preacher. That's the Holy Spirit of God calling your name, calling you to come be a part of his sheep. So what is that, Kyle? I mean, what is that? Can I tell you what that is? That's the Lord God who, before the foundation of the world, wrote your name, get this, into the Lamb's Book of Life. He wrote it. You didn't even know your name was in it. Well, today we're gonna find out if he's calling you because his sheep respond. The scripture says. So what did he do? God sent his son, the good shepherd. He sent him to his own people. And the scripture says his own people didn't even know him. They didn't know him. Even though he was speaking the language of the prophets who had come, he was speaking the language of the Old Testament that he was written about. He is the Messiah, the Christ, the long-awaited one that we've waited on. And they couldn't see it. Some did, though. At the end of all these stories, if you keep reading, it says that some didn't believe, but there were many who did. And in this room today, there are going to be some in here who walk, they'll get up and they'll walk out. But there will be some in here who will come and they will surrender their life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know why? Because when the shepherd calls his sheep by name, they respond. They respond. And the only reason that we respond, listen, that good shepherd lived a perfect life. A sinless, spotless lamb, the scripture tells us. That good shepherd was led like a lamb to the slaughter. His life drained out on a cross. The scripture says that 3 days later, he was put into a grave, and 3 days later, by his own authority, he took up his life again. This is what the scripture says. And today, you know what he's doing? He's calling some of you to abundant life. That's what he's doing. Some of you in here, you've already surrendered your life to Christ. You're a part of the sheep. You're one of his sheep, but you're not like in the flock. You're like a sheep running around out here, just kind of bouncing. You ever seen a lamb bounce? You're just kind of running around. You're checking things out. Do you realize that a sheep that's alone will be gone very soon? Because we weren't designed. Lambs are designed, sheep are designed to be in a flock. And some of you need, you know what we call that? Discipleship, a small group. You need to be in a group. This is why sheep are so protected by their shepherd, because he gets them together tightly. Because there is protection when they're together. Some of you need to get involved in a flock, a community. You're out trying to do your own thing, and pretty soon the thieves, the wolves, the robbers, the lions, the tigers, the bears, oh my, are going to come after you. Some of you, you need to like just get in the sheepfold, get in the barn. Some of you, you've been playing around LifePoint for long enough. It is time that you make this your home. The home. LifePT.org/first-step. That's our next membership class. I want to invite you. You come and be a part of that. You see, this is what it means to be protected, and Jesus is personal. As the good shepherd is personal to us, he lays his life down for you and for me. Here's the third thing quickly is this. Not only is the good shepherd protecting us, not only is he personal, number three is that the good shepherd pursues us. Look at verse 16. Verse 16 says this. This is Jesus speaking as the good shepherd. He says, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold." Listen to that. I have, that means he already possesses them. He says, "I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must." That's definitive language. "I must bring them also, and they will listen." Are you catching this? Okay, I stopped. Let me read it all together now. "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so that there will be one flock and one shepherd." What he's doing right here, Jesus, remember this story. Jesus is speaking to a formerly blind man, religious leaders, and all those gathered around. And he says, "Listen, I've got other sheep. They're not in this fold. And the Jewish people are going, "Huh?" What he's speaking is, listen, I'm calling out sheep from this fold, the Jewish fold, but I've got sheep that are in the Gentile fold also. And I'm calling them, and we're not gonna have three different folds. We're gonna have one fold. It'll be from the Jewish world, from the Gentile world. It'll be from every language, every tribe, every nation. It's gonna be all one. It'll be a kingdom flock. This is what I'm calling to us. This is why Jesus came. This is why we go. This is why we call us to live sent. This is why we take, when we say, come find life in the good shepherd, the one who lays his life down. And then we send you, we send me to take up the charge of the Father. Because you realize in your neighborhood there are wandering sheep who don't know that they've been called yet. And Jesus is calling their name, and he's using you and me to go, to bring them to an Easter gathering, to bring them to a church, for you to sit down with them and say, listen, I once was a wandering sheep, and my good shepherd laid his life down, and now my life has changed. My life has changed. Kyle, what do I do with this? I mean, what do I do with this? He's using, listen, Jesus was the master storyteller. He would use all these word pictures to hone in so that he could then pinpoint. And today, there are some of you in here that you need to come to Jesus. He's laid his life down, and he is calling your name. He's stirring in you. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And do you know how we'll know that you respond affirmatively? Because when he calls his sheep respond. They come. Some of you in here, you are followers of Christ. It's time that you jump into the fold. You need to join this body. Some of you in here, you have no flock. You're not in community at all. You've got wolves and false shepherds and thieves and robbers chasing you. The fact, look, can I get even more specific? The scripture tells us that our enemy, Satan, he has a real name. His name is Satan. He is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And today, the shepherd calls you to the flock. The shepherd calls you to the fold. Today, the shepherd calls your name to come to the one who laid his life down for you so that he might give you freedom in and out of the pasture, lead you by still waters, bring you to a place you've never been before, and then lead you safely home. Let's pray together. Father, I love you. I'm thankful for today. I'm thankful that you allow us to gather. I'm thankful for your word. And I ask that you do the work that only you can do today. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen. I'm going to ask right now that nobody leave. We're still responding. This is